searchlights pierce a starry night sky, sweeping the clouds and illuminating a towering edifice in the form of the words 20th Century Fox. 20th Century Fox, a News Corporation company. A series of expanding concentric ovals bond together with the word radar at their center. Radar Pictures. A woman rummages in a pot of pens and pencils and selects a pen. Fox 2000 Pictures presents. She's doing a crossword. In association with Radar Pictures and Dune Entertainment 3 LLC, the titles are like a crossword. The woman is creating the crossword, inventing clues. A Fortis Films production. The crossword is signed by Mary Horowitz. Sandra Bullock. Mary's standing at a desk, pigeon-toed, in shiny, red patent leather boots. All About Steve. Blonde Mary strides along a pavement. Thomas Hayden Church. She greets a postman. Bradley Cooper. Mary walks through a bustling park. She smiles approvingly at a man doing a crossword and giggles to herself. Ken Jeong. She bounds across some ornamental geometric stepping stones and up some steps. DJ Qualls, Howard Hessman. She jumps at the barking, which seems to come from some dog statues. Then a dog walker runs by. Keith Davis, Beth Grant. Mary looks over the shoulder of a guy in a suit doing a crossword. Katie Mixon, MC Gainey, Holmes Osborne. Mary arrives at the offices of the Sacramento Herald, advertised by a sign in Gothic lettering.
Last night.
Oh, everybody was there. Look, if you want to seal the deal with a guy, you need a short skirt and sexy panties. Oh, hold on.
Yeah, is Solomon here?
Oh, he's in the back, baby. Anyway, America. Yeah, you want to go out with
Mexicans
us?
Mexicans traditionally have supplied the world with tacos.
But Horowitz!
Now, America
are you down?
Is moving in.
Oh, that would be Bora Bora. That's a tough one. Don't punish yourself.
Mary arrives at the office of gray-haired Solomon. Closes her eyes and repeats a little mantra to herself.
Oh, hey, Mary.
Hello, sir. I have an idea.
You have next week's crossword?
Indeed, I do, but better yet, I have many and a brilliant plan. Instead of doing just one crossword per week, I could go daily, I could do five
I'm
per
sorry,
week.
I'm sorry, but we just don't have space for that kind of content.
No, but sir, crossword is everyone's favorite part of the newspaper. And we could be just like the New York Times, where the puzzle gets harder as the week goes. So on Monday, a day that traditionally bites the big one...
This isn't the New York Times. We're a local paper. Our readers just want to have fun.
Oh. Oh, well, sir, if fun is what they want, then Mary Horowitz has their fun. Ta-da! For St. Patty's Day. Top of the morning to you. Leprechaun.
The crossword's in the shape of a leprechaun smoking a pipe. Mary stares out at the celebrating colleagues.
Mary...
Yes?
Do you ever stop working long enough to, you know, like, go out, spend time with friends?
Nope.
Go on a date?
Mm-mm. Oh, well, I have a date this evening, sir. Yes, a blind one. My parents set it up, so I was obviously going to cancel.
Go on out on your date. You know, have some fun with him. And have you moved back into your apartment?
No. Still fumigating. But I'm just waiting for the chemicals to settle so I don't get the... old brain cancer. So if I don't move out of my parents' home soon, I'll be forced to get a lobotomy. So it's brain cancer, lobotomy.
Mary, less work, more of everything else. Just enjoy being normal. Martin, I need that feature on the pumpkin shortage. Is it ready?
Mary awkwardly looks at her crosswords and writes at the top of one of them.
Be normal.
She picks up her work and walks stiffly back into the open-plan office.
In life, as in crosswords, some days are harder than others. And that's what keeps your brain alive. The key to surviving those tough days is to pick yourself up and stay focused on your life's purpose. For me, that's imparting the joy of crosswording to all mankind. Ah, crosswording. The most spectacular fun a person can have without passing out.
Like a protective ensemble? Bunker gear, if you will. So if these kids set you on fire, you're good to what, 300 degrees? If I survive this, I'm supposed to go on a blind date tonight. Yeah, Steve.
Steve, yeah. His mother probably thinks he's gay. So my parents are no doubt pimping me out to test his sexuality, thanks. But I'm gonna cancel. Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you?
The fireman nods.
No, I could use a little, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, been a long time.
She's waiting to speak at a school career day.
Mary Horowitz.
Yes, yes, that is. That's me.
Here's a treat, students. Miss Mary Horowitz is the crossword constructor for the Sacramento Herald. You know the crossword puzzles that you see each week in the newspaper? Well, it's her job to create them. Isn't that fun?
The kids are completely bored.
Ladies and gentlemen, people do crossword puzzles all the time. But they don't often think of the person who made all the words fit together. Crossword constructors have above average intelligence, and it helps if they can spell. Okay, that's good.
She flips through her cue cards.
Imagine, if you will, a world. A world!
Daniel, you have a question.
You make a living doing that?
Well,
one puzzle a week can't make you enough to live on.
How do you pay your rent?
Well, my parents have graciously permitted me to bunk at their abode while my apartment is being fumigated.
You live with your parents?
Temporarily, yes, I live at home. But then again, so do all of you, so there. Now.
You don't have a husband, do you?
Or a boyfriend.
Kids, come on.
Mary fiddles self-consciously with the microphone.
No, not at this time. Though I have had liaisons.
The teacher shakes her head, warning Mary not to pursue this. Mary leaves the school. Casting by Yul Bestrop, CSA, and Seth Yanklevitz, CSA. Costume designer, Gary Jones. Was a pilot in the National Music supervisor, John Houlihan. Mary sits alone on a park bench, then walks back across the stepping stones. Music by Christopher Beck. She was a woman of a word. She was a fighter of crime. Film editor, Virginia Katz, ACE. Mary buys a paper and drops it. She chases the windblown paper. Director of photography, Tim Sirstedt, ASC. In disarray, Mary gets on a bus.
Hi, I often suffer from benign positional vertigo. Do you mind not driving until I can get my... Okay, all right.
Executive producers, Ted Field, Nick Osborne, Trevor Engelson. Mary falls into a seat. Produced by Sandra Bullock and Mary McLachlan. Later, she walks glumly home. Written by Kim Barker. There's a heavily chromed 1950s car parked outside her parents' large stone-clad house. Like you and me. Directed by Phil Trail.
Mary? How'd it go?
Smashing success. Or as they say in old Paris, coup de maître, meaning masterstroke. Okay, I'm gonna go upstairs and get ready.
Oh, so you're going ahead with the date?
Mary slumps against a stone-clad wall, then heads down to where her parents are playing pool.
Yes, of course. Look how excited I am. Better get going. I'm gonna fall in love and get proposed to. Register at Barnes & Noble. Have a beautiful wedding with an accordion band and a little tiny plastic bride and groom on top of a cake posing like this.
She stands on one leg, the other bent up behind her.
I'm gonna go.
I just want her to be happy.
Yeah.
Go out and have some fun.
Mm-hmm. You ever want to see any grandchildren, you're going to have to burn those damn boots.
Guinea pigs in a cage.
Carol, I have a date. A blind one. But if this Stephen is anything better than excessively hideous, I think we really should try and make it work. Because if society wants me to be normal, then normal we shall be, right? Yes. Oh, and Carol, I really would appreciate your support on this, too. And by support, I don't mean that.
She pushes up her breasts.
Mary? Knock, knock, knock. Look at you.
Already have, repeatedly.
Mayor.
He's hot.
Please don't meet on the inside.
I'm a cameraman for CCN, a news program.
We don't really watch.
Over the guy called Hartman Hughes. Have you ever seen him?
No.
Still in her red boots, Mary eyes Steve suspiciously. He's neatly but casually dressed, well-groomed with a broad smile. They approach one another in slow motion.
Hey, Mary. I'm Steve.
She stares at him, then tries but fails to smile. She holds up a finger, indicating for him to wait a moment. He grins and copies the gesture as she backs slowly up the stairs, then turns and runs. Steve turns in bafflement to Mary's parents. Mary runs to her room and closes the door.
Carol, I bring news. There's been a most unexpected turn of events. My date is substantially better looking than one might have predicted. And you know what Colin Powell once said? There's no secret to success. Well, clearly he doesn't understand the power of spectacular skivvies.
There she is.
Mary's still in her red boots, but now sporting a tight black spangly miniskirt and mussed-up hair.
Oh, wow.
Top open to expose her red bra, Mary smiles coquettishly.
Nice boots.
Thank you.
You ready? So nice to meet you.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's raining outside.
Let me get the door for you.
Thanks again.
Goodbye.
Shalom.
I have to admit, at first I wasn't so sure about this whole blind date thing. But now I'm surprised our parents didn't set it up earlier. Especially knowing my mother. It must be some kind of conspiracy.
Mary gazes at him with a fixed smile as he opens the car door.
Oh, you good?
Oh, he's so not gay.
Mary checks the contents of the car as she belts up and Steve comes round to the driver's side.
Oh, man, it's going down. Really going down, huh? I thought maybe we could go to Ernesto's. They got great tamales.
And they have this drink called El Gallo Negro.
It means the black rooster. They have like two of those drinks.
Oh, you okay? You okay?
Mary nearly throttles herself on her seatbelt as she tries to jump on him, then unbuckles and launches herself at Steve, kissing him frenziedly.
Wait, what about your parents?
What about my parents?
Your mom.
She's married, and you're not her type.
No, I just mean we're right in front of home. I just mean we're right in front of their house. Oh. And I had no problem with that whatsoever.
Said Stephen with a V or Stephen with a PH?
With a V.
I'm not so. That's a. You know, there's over a million Stephens with a V in the country. You know, it's much more popular than PH, right? Twice as popular, in fact. I think it's actually the Brits who prefer their PHs.
Yeah, not as much as the fish and chips.
Oh, Stephen, we really should commend our mothers for predicting our all-encompassing compatibility. I mean, we're both freshly compatible. You and TV and me and you know, newspapers. I'll help you. Also noticing we're both quite sexually compatible. And I don't know if you noticed, like I noticed, like we're both wearing blue, and what are the chances of that? Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, of course, the chances are probably pretty good, given that blue is one of the most popular of the three colors. Do you like crosswords?
Sure I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. So do you know how when the perfect clue gets stuck in your brain and it just explodes into this bouquet of mixed emotions. I'm aroused, I'm intrigued, I'm amused, I'm perplexed, I'm just like all these things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah, let's go back to the arouse.
Okay. Oh. Well, Stephen, it's like we're two rare earth elements just brought together by the Norns. It's just, it's Scandinavian for the destinies.
Oh.
And now I'm going to eat you like a mountain lion.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I'm sorry. That's my phone. Oh, my phone.
I didn't hear it ring. That's odd.
Vibrate.
I didn't feel it.
Oh, it's probably because of all the grinding. Yeah.
Yes. I'll get over here.
Yeah. What? Yeah, what's up? All right, I'm coming.
Oh, already? Okay, I can hurry.
No, I gotta go to work. There's breaking news.
Oh,
gosh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I gotta go to, Boston.
Wow, Boston, huh? That's a spectacular city. Known not only for its tea, but for Sam Morse, who invented the Morse code.
Get out of here.
Yes. Do you want some help?
No. You know, it'd be so much more interesting staying here and everything. Like, I really wish you could be there. Life on the road sure is tough.
I mean,
you have a job to do.
Steve dives out of the car with his umbrella to escort Mary back home.
Oh, he likes Twinkies.
She stuffs the wrapper in her bra.
Okay, isn't fun.
Mary puts on her coat and grins cheesily at Steve. He hands her the umbrella.
Okay. Oh, gracias.
Yeah.
Steve dives back into the car.
Okay. Crazy person.
He's startled by Mary grinning, waving and miming, "Call me" at the window. As Steve's SUV drives off into the downpour, Mary, in coat and bra, runs up to her room, manic with glee.
When I was a fledgling cruciverbalist, that means crossword constructor, I would find comfort in the words of the learned crossword sages. My hero is Manny Nosalski, frequent New York Times contributor and all-round cruciverbal master. Manny says that a crossword puzzle's greatness can be determined by asking three simple questions. Is it solvable?
She strides through the night to the Sacramento Herald offices.
Is it entertaining? Does it sparkle?
Smiling smugly, she posts an envelope into the night drop box, pushing it in with the umbrella.
Yes, okay, so lunch meeting at that Japanese restaurant at 1:30, okay, and I need to... Crossword is bullshit.
Anyway, he said he was going to change and I, for one, believe him, so...
This doesn't make any sense.
Well, to me, it does.
Oh, yeah, of course.
This is lame. Have you tried six down? These clues suck.
At a row of toilets, a guy plays footsie with the man in the next cubicle.
I can't get any of these.
Don't even bother. I don't know what the deal is, but it looks like every single clue is...
All about Steve? One across Steve's eye color. Five across Steve's car odor. 20 across Steve's lips taste like...
mint explosion.
Mary, who's Steve?
Oh, an extraordinary...
No, that's not what's important. What's important is what you've done with this crossword puzzle. I mean, it's...
It's inspired?
No.
Romantic?
No.
Oh, you're a tough one today. Let's see,
It's unprofessional.
No, it's not the word. Okay, let me think. You are...
You've tarnished the paper's reputation. I mean, I really thought that you would have known better than to pull something like this. Do you have any idea how many readers you've let down?
7,402, but...
Mary.
Yes.
Mary, we're going to have to let you go.
Oh. I could make it up to you by doing a fishing-themed crossword. I know how you love the piscatology.
She mimes a fishing line.
I'm sorry.
We'll just...
A headquarters building bears the huge logo of CCN News.
Police tell us that the chief suspect in the case is one Mr. Mark McLaglen.
Okay, guys, you're set. Tucson's affiliates on site now. Remote van's waiting for you at the airport.
Okay.
But I get an Escalade, right? Dan, we talked about this. Nick Vasquez gets an Escalade.
Nick Vasquez has 6 Emmys.
Stolen from me.
He was robbed, Dan, all 6 times.
Thank you, Stevie.
I mean, he can't help it if he's considerably older than Vasquez.
By older, he means experience, Marlboro Man handsome.
I'm pretty sure I meant old.
No, whatever. Which one of you geniuses can explain this?
Feller just needs to stiffen up. With the two
purple flower.
I'd be happy to, Dan.
Look at how the blue brings out my eyes.
Yeah, what I was going for here was, oh, look at that smooth push-in. Western motif, sort of the iconic flower, and then I need a backdrop, like a mountainous range. Boom, two mountains.
In Hollywood, they call that a Mae West, because Mae West has...
Keep talking, fellas. Keep talking your way right back to the Weather Channel. Right back to 10 degrees in Buffalo, where you'll be spending most of your days taking close-up shots of kids' snotsicles.
Well, give us something good, Danny. I mean, we're fighter pilots, man.
Yeah, we really are.
It's like sending an F-16 to kill your neighbor's dog. It's a waste of our energy. And I need one big report, man, to get that anchor desk.
Get out of my office. This is a big report. So don't screw it up with any more stupid pranks this time, Hartman.
And you?
Angus.
You're responsible for these guys. Make sure they don't embarrass me in Tucson.
They screw around. You're out.
Yes, sir.
Remember the Escalade.
Hey, man.
Oh. Sterling, how you doing? Jack, you looking sweet. Paula, I can feel your love darts coming over this way.
Mom, I'm working. What's up?
Man, Hartman Hughes.
No, I haven't read it. Why? Okay. Hey, does anybody have a Sacramento Herald? Jim?
Yeah.
Right.
Right here.
Yeah, I got it. Yes, I ate lunch. What section?
Steve sees the crossword and grins.
Oh, what? This is all about me. This is all about me.
His expression freezes. Sun shines on the Horovitz residence. Mary's lying in the bath wearing a pink flowery bathing cap. As she soaks, she changes position. Her eyes widen as a thought strikes her. Wearing a towel, she straddles the banister rail and tries to slide down backwards.
Doesn't hurt, doesn't hurt, doesn't hurt. But obviously, the gods, it's... Where are you? Oh, hi, there you are. Okay, do you know what's at work here? Pistas, indicios, Anhaltspunkte, clues. They're just, they're everywhere. One, I was thinking of not going on the date, but then the good children of Youngstrom Academy kindly, you know, they persuaded me to go. Two, my date duly arrives. And lo, not only is he muy caliente, but he likes my red boots. Three, Steve says it would be great if I could be on the road with him. But of course I cannot, because I have a job. Four, only days later I learn I no longer have a job. Which is obviously just the final clue leading to the blindingly simple answer. Onward, Mary Horowitz. Onward. Go be with Steve.
What do you mean you don't have a job?
Missing the point, Father. The clues have been deciphered. I must journey forth.
Journey forth where?
Father, you're making me crazy.
Mary goes to the TV and changes channels.
Ah, voila, Papa. If it is news, Stephen is there. Auf Wiedersehen.
Hartman Hughes, reporting from the edge. Have you seen Vasquez? Have you seen Vasquez?
No.
Too much of a pussy to come to a dangerous hostage crisis.
30 seconds.
It's just going to bring you around to the left, right?
Well, I want to open up on the dust, and then we're going to hit a 45 up to your right side.
All right, Steve, but I'm going to indicate down the street. I'm going to come around to the left, and right here.
10 seconds, you're on with Paula.
She's still mad at you for giving those Jenny Craig gifts?
And five.
In fact,
four,
I was looking at her ass to
three.
Begin with as a compliment. Paula, I've just arrived at Wild Willie's old western town, beloved tourist attraction in Tucson, Arizona. On a typical day, this street would be busy. With families eager to enjoy the Wild West life experience. Tragically today, the man who plays Wild Willie the Outlaw has taken his role to heart and captured eight of his co-workers, taking them hostage and holding them in the saloon a mere 85 yards away from where I stand now. Judgment fire, Paula! Let's go hand out, Steve!
In a panic, Macho Hartman drops to the ground and hides behind a wagon.
It's unclear at this moment who the shot was intended for, or how many lives have perhaps been lost. Okay, breaking news, Paula. We have our first confirmed kill. A horse. One of many that live here at Wild Willie's old western town. First victim of this senseless tragedy.
Behind him, the horse gets up.
It's in moments like this, I'd like to believe that there's a heaven just for horses. Rolling meadows, lush grasses, the spirits of deceased horses galloping to and fro. Long may you roam in heaven, O noble horse.
Asian producer Angus shows a note to Hartman. The reporter frowns.
And yet, the horse not quite dead, Paula. Not quite dead at all.
Another note.
He's apparently a trained horse, Paula. Trained to drop down during Wild Willie's Old West shootout routine. This particular horse, also sensitive to trucks backfiring on Route 20. Well, in the midst of tragedy, a blessed miracle.
Cut.
Damn it, Steve! Do you think this is funny? You guys can see the horse is alive, and you're giving me the bring him the tears signal?
Oh, no. This is the bring the tears signal. This is... Hey, the horse is up. It's galloping.
Hartman glares at Angus.
You know my favorite answer? In mono ultramicroscopic silico volcano coniosis. It's a lung disease. Ooh, Fontana, California.
You know what they make there? No, they make steel. Yeah. Do you know how they make it? No?
I won't bore you with the whole story, just the best parts, like how it's made from molten pig iron, which does not, as everyone might think, have anything to do with pigs or swines or hogs. It's a raw iron made from iron and coke. And by coke, I mean the carbonaceous residue, not the cola or the booger sugar. It's a method perfected by Sir Henry Bessemer, a Brit. Oh, and Bessemer is also a town in Alabama. Yay! Yep, you know what they have there? No? Hitler's typewriter. Hitler's typewriter. That was such an asshole. Anyone up for a potty break? It's not good to hold it.
We're gonna take 5 minutes here.
Establishments in desolate areas like this are usually run by family members that are...
The bus drives off, leaving Mary in a cloud of dust.
Crap.
She's alone in her red boots in a desert township. She walks into a truck stop where a couple of hefty guys are eating at the bar. She approaches the surly waitress.
Yes, hi. Do you know when the next bus to Tucson goes through here? Because I kind of just... Miss mine.
The wizened waitress is picking her teeth.
I'm headed that way.
Oh,
the big grey-haired guy pulls on a baseball cap.
So you ever kill any animals? Set a trash can full of kittens on fire, you know, something like that.
No.
No? What about humans? I had to...
Would I tell you if I did?
Touché, sir.
The guy nods, not quite believing what he's witnessing. She fidgets nervously.
You can wait for that next bus if you want.
She gives a little salute with the umbrella. The waitress simpers at her, and a big tattooed biker type swigs beer.
Roughly 9:85, I will give this to you and... Thank you.
She runs out right into the path of the guy's huge truck. He stops in a cloud of dust with her leaning against the front grille. Mary nods and smiles to the trucker, wafting away dust with a sun hat.
Can I see your license, please?
He grins and produces an Arizona license in the name of Norman James Durwood with a photo of him grinning manically. He mimics the expression.
Norman James Durwood? Mary Magdalene Horwitz. Nice to meet you.
Good to meet you, I think.
Norm, if you are going to rape and murder me, you are going to have to cut my body up into a million chunks and scatter me all over 4 states, because this appendage will lead homicide detectives right to you. And that would be no bueno. I think we're good.
She's written his license number in permanent marker on her forearm.
And my other rules about crossword is this: no pencils. Doing a crossword with a pencil is like screaming with your lips duct taped together. It is weak. If you're going to do a crossword puzzle, you need to do it fearlessly and with abandon and with a pen. I prefer medium felted blue. It's about choosing your path, Norm, and just committing to it.
Well, I figure that when you miss a bus, maybe you weren't meant to take it.
She considers this wisdom, then grimaces doubtfully.
You familiar with moon blindness, Norm? It's like this awful eye pus that sort of...
You know, quiet time might be real good right about now.
Okay. She closes the truck's technical manual she was reading.
Hey, Norm.
Mary.
Thanks for not raping me.
My pleasure.
He grins to himself.
Howdy, Parker. Welcome to Wild Willie's old western town. Howdy, Parker. Welcome to Wild Willie's old western town.
Norm pulls over by the talking road sign.
Alrighty. Give my love to the kids.
Good luck. And if that Steve shows you any disrespect...
Disrespect? Well, if you mean unmannerly, tactless, and vulgar, he is a straight man, Norm, and some things can't be helped. But if you mean that he's somewhat...
See you, Mary.
See you, Norm.
Mary waves with both hands as he drives off, then runs into the dusty Western theme park, tottering in her red-heeled boots.
A cowboy sweetheart, I want to learn to rope and ride. I want to ride o'er the plains and the desert.
She runs into the replica Wild West township, looking around happily, clutching Steve's umbrella.
The coyotes howling while the sun sinks in the west.
She slows down and her face falls. The main street that had been crowded with news crews is now completely deserted, apart from a cleaner pushing a dustbin on wheels.
Hola, señor.
What happened? They're all safe. The man surrendered.
Se rindió. Ha ha.
Ha ha ha. Adios.
Adios, señor.
She walks away from the cleaner, then turns back to him and points to the radio. What did they say? Baby Peggy.
In Oklahoma?
Sí.
Poor little thing.
Oh, gracias, gracias, señor. Hasta luego.
Vaya con Dios.
Guadalupe Aguero, or to us, Baby Peggy, was born with an extremely rare birth defect, a third leg.
Shortly after 11 months ago, her immigrant parents separated. Now with joint custody, one parent wants the abnormal baby to keep the third leg, the other wants it gone.
After months of legal wrangling, the judge has ordered in favor of the mother. Amputation surgery is scheduled for tomorrow, but the father, Mr. Aguero, isn't about to give up.
Perhaps one day her parents will tell... To secure an injunction, the father continues to rally support around the rogue leg.
I'm quoting, "If God didn't want my daughter to have a third leg, he wouldn't have stuck one between the other two." So for now, the fate of the precious child's third leg is in the hands of a judge. Hartman Hughes, reporting from Oklahoma City, near the leg, and as always, from the edge.
Cut.
Okay, what do you think? In the next segment, I was thinking about saying, Baby Peggy is in a three-legged race against time. What do you think?
Okay.
Want to do some one-on-ones?
Do it.
Okay, just... Intelligent arguments from both sides. Intelligent arguments, guys.
I was born with a vestigial penis. That means a penis hanging outside the body. You know, like yours. I'm talking about a ding-a-ling, you know what I'm saying? And it was pretty good size. I was kind of proud of it. You know, I got to be in seventh grade. I used to work it, hang it on the side in gym class. I got all the attention. Now there's just a big old scar. Like, can you feel it? Can you feel that scar? Right? Okay, so they cut it off. Then that, what? What happened? I'm not finished.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was the highlight of my morning. Vasquez.
Where? Oh. It's a new Escalade. It's got three security guards. Look at that, he brought toys.
Vasquez brandishes a dolly.
That's that guy from the news. Hey, it's a baby.
Son of a bitch. He's got a three-legged doll baby. Angus!
Steve grins and slings his camera over his shoulder. Mary arrives in a taxi. She makes her way through the throng of people and cars at the hospital, clutching the umbrella and looking for Steve. Mary spots Steve on a walkway taking photos. She waves manically, jumping up and down. He sweeps his focus over the crowds and pulls back sharply, noticing Mary. She's gone. He lowers the camera and has another look. As he looks through the camera, a pair of red boots comes into focus. Mary jiggles up and down excitedly.
What?
The man Panic Mary hurtles towards him in slow motion.
I will follow him.
Steve lowers the camera and arranges his face into a smile.
Oh! Hey!
Hi!
Hey! Oh, how are you? Hey!
Good, surprise!
Yeah, yeah. Look at you,
oh,
here.
Sorry, it took me so long.
It did, yeah. It did.
Oh, I brought your umbrella back. Oh. And I got a surprise.
We have a lot.
I know you love.
Oh, wow, that's scary thoughtful. Thanks. Thank you.
Twinkies.
So, you came here all the way just to see me?
Yes, sir. Ask and you shall receive. You know who said that?
No.
Jesus.
Did Jesus tell you to come here?
Jesus asked me to come here. Oh, you did.
No.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I don't think so.
Yes, right after you fondled my breasts. Remember?
Who?
You. Or remember?
Oh.
Oh, life on the road sure is awful. Sure would be great if you could be out there with me. Oh, we're going.
Oh, yeah.
With your big old hands. Just grabbed my little puppies and went to town. Felt good.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
it will be great. Because you are making journalistic history, and
oh,
I will be right by your side for support and encouragement and whatever, like, nurturing and coddling you as a man should require.
I'm pretty much a one-man team. It's just me and my camera.
God, yeah.
You know what? And yes, you know, the news needs you. Look, because I bet my left ovary that's baby Peggy's daddy leaving the hospital to avoid the press right there. Look.
Oh, no, that's a nurse.
No, right?
No, they're all dressed like... There's a lot of nurses because we're in the hospital.
But a nurse not wearing sterilized non-slip footwear?
What? Oh, holy shit. You're right. Yeah, I should thank you.
Go, Stephen with a V. First priority, your occupation. Second priority, fornication. Fornication.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
Only media allowed up here.
Oh, absolutely. My credentials, kind sir.
Cruciverbalist?
See?
You got to stay down there with your friends.
My friends.
The security guard gestures to a chanting mob. Mary looks round in confusion, then stares at the protesters.
Okay, guys, that security, that was fantastic.
Hi there. I like your boots.
Oh, thanks.
Are you pro-leg or anti-leg?
Neither, really.
Well, this is the pro-leg group over here. We are supporting baby Peggy's dad in the fight to save the baby's third leg.
Oh, wow.
Over there, well, those are the anti-leggers.
Well, is the additional leg functioning or non-functioning? Because if it has full mobility, it's both a physical asset and a medical phenomenon.
Those are a lot of words. And they're kind of big. I don't understand. In addition to promoting a righteous cause, the pro-leggers have better snacks.
Okay. I'm definitely pro-leg then.
Yay! Come around. You can help light the rest of the candles.
Okay.
Mary goes to join the bubbly brunette and the pro-leggers.
Love those boots.
Agus, footage of the dad leaving the scene.
Nice. Worked,
right?
How'd you get that?
Steve looks round nervously.
This is Hartman Hughes, reporting from the Edge.
Hartman's loving his own work.
You remember the blind date I went on?
Yeah, the one who did the crossword.
Yeah. She followed me here.
Here?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I saw her at the bridge, and I think she's with the protesters. She's red boots.
Is she attractive?
I mean, who cares?
I've been married to the same woman for 9 years, and I care.
I think she thinks that I invited her here.
Did you?
No. I mean, well, kind of. I mean, but I was just trying to be nice, you know, to get her out of my truck.
You could have tried get out of my truck.
I can't be held responsible for being a nice guy, right?
No, of course not. Unless she's doing a crossword all about you and following you across the country like a stalker.
Stalker?
Who has a stalker?
Steve does. Big time.
No.
What? Big time.
Really? What's going on with that?
No, I was telling him about Mary. Remember Mary, the blind date my parents set me up on? She saw me like a mountain lion in the truck. Great in theory, but I can stop talking. She's like a talking encyclopedia.
Hartman nods.
So, is she here?
No. I think she
red boots with the protesters. Hot.
Red boots. You bang a fireman?
No. No, I did not bang a fireman.
All right. I'm going to go outside and get some snacks. You want anything?
Oh, man, I could use the club soda with shaved ice with a twist of lemon.
Hartman despairs of Angus and walks off.
It's awesome. He's getting me drinks.
You think that's where he's going?
Yeah.
That's not where he's going. You know, I don't know what he's up to. He's always thinking about something.
This glue is making me high.
It's the methyl benzene in there, Winston. Give me that. Here, use this one.
Hey, guys. Can I help?
Of sure. Mary, have you met Howard? Howard, Mary Howard. How do you do?
I'm not quite sure what you mean. I'm just gonna sit down. So what can I do?
Can you do the ribbon?
Yes.
Okay. Your sister.
Hartman wanders over.
Mary.
Oh, hey, that's that news guy.
Harvin Hughes.
So, this is the pro legger camp.
Yeah.
Handsome group.
That's right.
You folks are all for keeping baby Peggy abnormal.
Abnormal?
Extra legs equals extra awesomeness.
Yeah, she'd just be like the tree frog.
Come again?
A trematode parasite causes polymaly. That means extra limbs in tree frogs. Yeah. Happens all the time. It's totally normal. I mean, in some ponds, there's like a quarter of the tree frogs with extra limbs, and sometimes they found that if they've
You know, gone... over at the media tent, we're going to take a break in a few minutes. And sure enough, like you to join me.
Oh, I can't. I have flute lessons.
Hartman pats a little hippie girl on her knitted hat head.
Will Steve be there?
Who do you think sent me?
Oh. All right, girl. You go, girl. Go on to that media tent. Your bad self. Don't get your man, honey. I'll if you need backup.
Did Steve tell you all about the across the word I did
for him? Oh, yeah. There's no words to describe how much it meant to him.
Oh, but there are. There are always words.
You know,
yes.
It's easy to see why he fell for you the way he did.
So he told you all about the incredible connection and intensity in je ne sais quoi?
Oh, yeah. He told me about the quoi. He wouldn't shut his pie hole about the quoi. But, you know, his bliss is tempered with fear. When you saw him today, did he seem like a man whose heart and loins were full of joy?
I don't know. I don't know if it, if...
No.
No.
It's because he's afraid, Mary.
Oh.
He's afraid you're gonna break his heart.
But I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that to Steve. I could never do that. I'm incapable.
You rest those pretty little mouth pillows, huh? You're gonna need them later for all sorts of naughtiness. What I need to know from you right now... Are you going to stick around long enough to help us work through Steve's fear?
Oh, of course. Yes.
He tells you to go, you don't go.
No? Okay.
Mm-mm. He starts throwing words around like cuckoo and loony and crazy. That's his fear talking.
Oh,
all right?
Okay, yes.
If he tries to run away, I want you to grab him.
Okay.
And with the strength that God gives you, hang on. Be calm and focused. You want to know why? You're the rock in this relationship.
I'm the rock.
You're the glue that holds it together.
I'm the glue. Okay.
Right here. Look at me. Focus.
Mary stares at him.
Are you gonna soldier on, no matter what happens?
Of course.
Good. You know what I see in those big, beautiful eyes?
It's like semilunar secretions. That's something in my eye.
He shakes his head.
Bravery.
Well, I'm a little nervous.
Now you go get your Steve on.
Okay.
You said you was hyper?
Yeah, she's really hyper.
It's good. The calm and focused ones, they keep all that bottle up inside, and before you know it...
Angus makes stabbing motions.
You know, but as long as she's hyper, you don't have to worry about it.
One thing she isn't is cunt.
Dude.
What do you want to tell me?
Dude. Is that her?
Hmm?
Is that her? Steve slowly raises his eyes to the buffet table and a figure in a familiar pair of red boots.
What's up?
She indicates a drinks can. Steve's already drinking from a huge, super big gulp cup.
How's she getting here?
I don't know. She's...
Boy, I miss you. Steven with a V.
Let's go for a talk outside.
Okay. Walkie talk.
Right here.
Okay.
Steve marches her out of the media pool tent.
Oops. Yeah.
Okay.
Hmm.
You can't stay here.
Sure I can.
No.
That's the beauty of my job. I can send in crossword puzzles from anywhere in the world.
No, listen, okay. Listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you here, okay?
But you said...
I said... I know, I'm a guy. Okay, we say things we don't mean.
Well, then, how do I know you mean what you're saying now when you said you didn't mean what you said?
That's crazy.
Well, see, that's your fear talking.
Why are you so calm? How come you're not more hyper? That's freaking me out a little bit. I gotta be honest with you.
Steve, right, it's all gonna be okay.
I know it is.
It is. Made just... even wonderful. Hartman Hughes told me everything.
What?
I talked to Hartman Hughes.
What? When did you talk to him?
Doesn't matter.
Did he come get you?
Steve.
Where is he?
Steven, come here. Look at me. You here? You here with me? Focus, right here.
Okay.
Okay? Look at me. Intimate relationships cannot substitute for a life plan, but to have any meaning or validity at all, a life plan must include intimate relationships. Do you know who said that?
Jesus.
Harriet Lerner.
Oh.
Psychologist, lecturer, and author of the timeless classic, Franny B. Cranny, There's a Bird in Your Hair.
I was going to run for governor.
Hey, Hughes, come here.
Hey.
Come here.
Steve. Yes, sir.
This is another one of your pranks, huh? I don't know what you're into, Iago. You better tell her the truth, okay?
I'm a newsman. I'm incapable of saying anything but the truth.
Okay, well, then tell her you lied and that I really... I don't want you here. I'm sorry.
Hartman mouths, "He loves you," behind Steve. Mary smiles.
Sorry. Just things didn't work out. You're going to find a great guy.
Hartman mimes rocking a baby.
What is that?
I want you guys to have a baby.
Why?
You guys belong together.
I'm going to hit you, man.
Oh, come on. You're not going to hit the face of CCN.
Oh,
oh,
stop it. You guys can't take through violence. Tantamount to defeat for you. It is momentary.
Do you know
who said it?
Who said that? Really?
What are you afraid of?
What am I afraid of?
Please.
Look, I don't want to fight you.
I don't want to know about iHeart Mary carved into tree trunk.
Why are you putting stuff like that in
you
her head? No, I never said
maybe.
That. No.
You're afraid the great Hartman Hughes is going to steal her.
Oh,
wow.
You're crazy.
No fight.
Guys, go to Peggy's parents. Settle.
Steve, your camera.
Oh,
sorry.
See what happens? You mess with me, you mess with my boy.
Mary, stay.
Angus hits Steve in the face with the camera. He runs off.
Did you?
With mere hours to spare, the Agüeros reconcile, agreeing to halt surgery until baby Peggy is old enough to decide for herself.
It's time for the Agüeros to be a family once again.
So today, like the noble tree frog, whose third leg is nothing if not natural, baby Peggy marches on.
Steve, I'm coming. Excuse me, medical emergency.
Wobbly,
thank you. Please allow me through. Possible concussions. Could faint at any time. Steve, I'm coming.
No.
As security hustle Mary away, she trips on Steve's camera cable, pulling him off a platform. He lands heavily on his back and sees the guards dragging Mary away.
Someone please help him. Maybe apply a vasoconstrictor or a nasal tampon.
She's trying to kill me.
She's trying to kill me.
This is Hartman Hughes. Report.
What the hell was that?
It's this girl who Steve invited, sir.
I didn't invite her. She's stalking me.
Never mind. There's a hurricane off the coast of Texas. Get to it.
I'm sorry, it'll never happen.
If you three weren't the closest crew to Galveston, you'd be hitchhiking home by now.
Yes, sir.
Get off the phone.
Did you hear that about the tree frog? Every time she speaks, I smell anchor desk.
I get it, Hartman. You're trying to get back at me, but Mary's not the way. She's insane. She tried to kill me.
Hartman, something's wrong with her. You didn't
you
see that?
You fell down. Boo-hoo.
I fell down. My legs were taken out from under me. What are you talking about? She's stalking me.
Dude, she's not stalking you.
Steve.
Oh, shit.
Tell him I'm here.
Steve. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so sorry I was detained. I was questioned by authorities who've got an apparent crime against one of your coworkers, but all's been resolved. Steve.
Considering you almost cost us our job, maybe now's not a great time.
Well, I'm so sorry. I could call your employer and apologize. You could actually apologize in 17 different languages. It's really going thick now.
Just so, Mary.
Yes.
We're going to Galveston. And there's a big storm there. What do you know about Galveston?
What are you doing?
Great, Galveston. Well, Galveston's the South's new gay mecca. One of the country's top 10 gay-friendliest cities.
Huh. Yeah. Gay-friendly, Angus.
Hi, Steve.
Is she running alongside the van?
What else you got?
Oh, biggest natural disaster in American history.
Yeah.
Over 6,000 dead in Galveston alone. Yeah. 10 nuns and 90,
go fast.
90 orphans.
Ask her why she's following me, please.
Why are you stalking him?
Oh, I'm not stalking. No, I'm not stalking. Stalking's an obsessive pursuit of prey.
All right, but you're kind of falling alongside his van.
Oh, well, who wouldn't? Steven is a smart, decent, loving, if he allows himself, right? Loving, talented human being with deep-seated fears. But I'm not going anywhere, Steve. I'm your rock. I'm your...
Mary.
Oh, Steve, hi.
Go home. Go.
Mary spins away from the van as Steve slams the door and they speed up.
You should come.
She stands confused and dizzy as cars file past her, driving away from the hospital.
You know what word you never see in crosswords? Go. That or any other two-letter words. The word go? Not fun. The word vamoose? Now that's super fun. Yes, crosswords are a lot like life in that way. They're only boring if you have no sense of adventure.
Oh, we didn't get to light all the candles out.
It's okay, we can save them.
Okay. Hi, Mary. Where you been?
Yeah, I'm going to go meet Steve at his next job.
Oh.
Yeah, Galveston. Yeah, yes, it's a storm.
Could you sign my autograph book before you go?
Yeah, if I had a car on my way to Galveston, I could go through Duran, Oklahoma, where they have the world's largest peanut.
I love peanuts, especially the giant ones.
Yeah, well, who doesn't?
I know. Love them.
There you go.
I'll drive.
Really?
Yeah, why not? All right, vamoose.
Howard's wearing a giant foam hand. The bubbly brunette scuttles after him.
Vamoose indeed.
Mary follows them.
So, what kind of car do you have?
Gremlin.
Oh, what year?
76.
Oh, did you replace a two-wire ignition connector?
Yes. The reverse doesn't work and sometimes it stalls, but otherwise it's good as new.
You know, this storm could be nasty. Are we sure that we want to drive into it?
Oh, come on. How bad could it be, right?
Hurricane Lakeisha expected to make landfall by tomorrow morning. And what makes the situation even more frightening? That area of Texas currently in the midst of the worst tornado season in history. And here's where things get interesting. Add a looming cicada migration, and no one knows just how devastating this storm could be.
Did you know that back in the 80s, when everyone's concern was with the aerosol cans, it was actually the cows and their gases, which were actually doing the most damage to the ozone layer.
The trio are munching burgers in Howard's old car. Later, Mary's asleep in the back seat. When she wakes up, she gives driver Howard a shoulder massage. Bubbly Elizabeth finds a figurine in the glove compartment.
A little wrinkled old lady.
Yeah, that's Mother Teresa. She's my bestseller. I'm an apple sculptor.
Really? I love apples.
Yeah?
I do.
Well, I went to school for physics, but I got bored, so now I just make these and sell them on appleheadsworld.com.
Oh.
Here, let me show you another one.
Oh, Playaken! Oh, my God!
You know, I was sitting at home just thinking that I had everything I needed right there, and then I just thought, maybe there's more, you know? Maybe this is the road I'm supposed to be on.
Mary muses and smiles to herself.
Maybe it is.
And now we go out to Hartman Hughes, who's enjoying some fresh air. Hartman, not getting too wet, are you?
Paula, the only thing keeping me from falling into the bottomless depths of these shark-infested waters is this flimsy 2x4 railing. And the Galvestonians here are hoping that this storm will not surpass the storm of 1900. When 6,000 people lost their lives. Nuns, orphans, washed out to sea. This is Hartman Hughes in Galveston in the middle of a mild storm.
Reporting from the edge.
Steve signals cut.
All right. Good work. Good job.
Happy to help.
Holy shit, there's Maui! Where?
It's a marker boy out at sea.
You know, you're an asshole!
You know what? I love dressing up. I do. But guys, those panties are short on sparkle.
Thank the good Lord for the bedazzler.
A tornado appears ahead of them.
Guys? Hold on.
Oh! Howard brakes and they skid across the highway.
Okay, reverse. The car won't start. Reverse doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
Okay, put it in drive.
I
can't. It's stalled.
Okay. Oh, God. It
will not start.
Okay.
What are we going to do? Storm drain.
Okay.
Okay. Guys, come on.
Twister's heading right for them, and the air is filled with debris. Mary puts up her umbrella and fends off airborne vegetation.
Come on, keep running!
Debris flies around them as they head for the wide pipe emerging from a dusty bank.
Everybody get in! Dad, go all the way down! We're gonna be okay, though. We're gonna be fine.
Yay, Honto!
Yes! No such thing as too prepared for adversity, my friends!
Mary hands out plastic rain hats, then is hit in the face by a large insect.
Insecta heptera of the suborder Acanuritha!
Cicada!
This species only comes around every 17 years! Add these very, very smart cicadas to a tornado, it's like a once-in-a-lifetime natural miracle! You know, fucking miracle!
The tornado scoops Howard's car up into the air. It disappears into the towering twister.
Shit!
Curse words. Swearing, profanity, expletives, good old cuss. Maybe these words aren't such a good idea in some places, such as crosswords or kindergarten, but when amongst friends, and in a sewer, it's perfectly acceptable to have a mouth like one.
Three friends walk through the wreckage dropped by the passing storm and come across one very wrecked vehicle.
My car.
Standing in their plastic rain bonnets, they eye the broken car forlornly. Mary rubs Howard's back in sympathy. It's quiet in the CCN studios.
Storm's over, what else is happening? Hey, Chris, any celebrities arrested for drunk driving today? Give me the phone. Angus, how in the hell do you miss a tornado, Kane?
Please, sir, give us another chance.
You keep this up and you're leaving me no choice.
Get please, sir,
down street signs, damaged boats, drowned puppies,
whatever.
And then I want you all in my office Tuesday morning at 9.
Sorry, sir, I...
They're through, all of them. Finished. Find out if Vasquez is happy at NNC.
We need to go shoot some B-roll of the storm damage.
I'm not scared of love.
I went on one date with her, Mom. I went on one date with her.
B-roll? Complete waste of my handsome gifts. It was a decent tragedy when you need one. Huh?
A crowd of kids run through woods towards a large field with a fun fair.
Strap in, everybody. We're going to give a layup. Who wants to go forward? Who wants to go back?
Hey, kids! Who's ready for some fun?
The teacher speaks in sign language to her deaf group. Three teachers carrying picnic hampers follow the excited children as they run across the grassy meadow towards the fair. Then the kids fall into a huge hole in the ground.
You can knit this handy purse. Oh, but my favorite VHS
knitting. I'm sorry, we're going to have to interrupt. Breaking news from Silver Plume, Colorado. A group of hearing impaired children have plummeted into an abandoned mine shaft.
Yeah, I just heard. Who are we sending to cover it? What? Is there no one else?
There's no word yet on injuries, John, but we are getting reports that a crane is on its way to the scene to try and rescue those poor deaf children before the ground collapses on top of them. Judy, John, back to you.
Now that's a great story.
Angus, where'd you get those?
Steve's in a wig and false mustache.
Mary could have planted those.
You think she poisoned her chips?
Well, can you prove that she didn't? Huh? Did you buy them? I didn't buy them. Did you buy... Well, you don't buy anything. You didn't buy... Did you buy them?
You know, poisoning is the number one murder method for crazy women.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Hey! Everything's gotta go out. We gotta flush it, guys.
Give a hoot. Don't pollute.
Mary pulls a piece of metal off the car. Howard clutches a windscreen wiper.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault.
You know, my old man was a combat journalist in Nam. Hard to fill those boots, huh? Got killed before I ever had a chance to say goodbye to him. Yeah, if I ever get that anchor desk, he's gonna be really proud of me in heaven.
Well, looks like we found the eye of the storm, guys.
Holy shit, there's Mary.
Oh my god. Oh, come on!
Steve. Holding the metal shard, she waves.
What are you doing?
Getting some air.
What? What are you writing? You're not telling her where we're going.
I'm making some notes. Leave me alone.
Stop it. All right.
Steve!
Oh, Jesus, he's got a machete! Where the hell's he got a machete? Oh, man, she's gonna pluck my eyes out, man. She is gonna carve my eyes out. She's gonna make me eat them. I swear to God, I've read about it here. Oh, my God, she's gonna cut my feet off. I'm not gonna be able to walk, man. She's gonna make me eat my legs.
She's gonna make you eat your legs?
Yeah, I read about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
What, some sort of pimento leg loaf?
Hey, you think this is funny? I've read about this. I know it's not the same thing.
Shut up! All right! Jesus, where do I begin? Hartman, for the love of God, stop tanning. You look like a cheese nip. You look like an orange with lips. You look like a wrinkled peach. And you, Geraldo, lose the wig. You look like a retired porn star. Who you fooling? Oh, that's a great disguise, Einstein. The van's the same, dumbass. Mary is not a psycho. You're the psycho. She's just a smart girl with red boots.
Hartman and Steve squirm and look sheepish. Steve pulls off his wig.
It's good work, Angus. Yeah, you had some balls in those underoos.
Mary picks up a chicken bucket that Hartman tossed from the van with a message on.
Okay, deaf kids in a mine, Silver Plume, please meet me.
Mary wrinkles her nose in distaste and passes the bucket to Elizabeth.
Meet.
Who passes it to Howard?
Please meet. M-E-A-T. Please meet me there, X-O Steve.
See, he needs me. If only to help with his spelling.
They're standing in the middle of a huge debris-strewn plain.
You know what one of my favorite ingredients of crosswording is? Perseverance. If you quit a puzzle, you can't finish it. Sure, every once in a while you run into a doozy that you don't think you could ever solve in a million years, but if you stick with it, you figure it out. Eventually. The worst thing you can do is leave it unfinished. Never the solution, is it?
You know what my favorite part of a crossword is? When you realize you know something you didn't think you knew.
Maybe.
It's Colorado, then?
Mary's grin says yes.
Yay!
Yay!
They move off. Elizabeth takes Mary's arm.
Hey, people, back it up! This ground can collapse at any time, so please,
all right,
please,
here we go, guys. Start lowering them down.
A crane lowers a rescuer into the hole in the field. Steve's filming.
Sketch. Hey, what's he doing with his hands?
He's signing. One sign is to give Hartman the finger.
Bitch. I haven't had my big moment yet, so I've got to find something.
The first kid is lifted to safety.
All right, in three. Three, two, one. Elation here in Colorado, and yet danger lurking at every corner as rescuers bring the besmudged little cherubs up one at a time. Thank God they're all right. Thank you, God.
Hartman hands up the emotion. Howard's tornado-bashed heap is struggling along a road, causing a traffic jam. A handmade sign reads Silver Plume Fair 10 miles ahead. Mary's trying to replace a rubber window seal. Another child's hoisted from the hole.
That's the last of them!
What's up?
Hartman's reading a paper. Steve's filming.
Last child is now rescued, with the parents rejoicing along with the many workers, and wait a minute, there's something happening.
The ground seems to be collapsing. The heavy crane is actually shaking. Oh, this is terrible.
Steve carries on filming as the crane sinks into the ground. The operator jumps clear. A man is speaking in sign language to one of the rescued children. What happened? I don't know, but I smell a lawsuit.
A happy ending, and yet parents around the country wondering, is my family in danger from an abandoned mine? Is my backyard an abandoned mine?
Danger's back!
Mary's party arrive at the field.
Is that him?
Yeah.
No one's quite sure what to do next.
Well, truth is truth to the end of reckoning.
Shakespeare.
Howard grins and Mary smiles warmly at him, then braces herself to approach Steve.
I say to these late strangers.
She strides purposefully across the field, watched by Howard and Elizabeth. Mary walks quickly in the sunshine through groups of rescue workers making a beeline for Steve and heading straight for the hole.
One that has left parents across this country wondering, how do I keep my family safe from abandoned mines? It's my bedroom.
Holy shit.
On top of an abandoned mine. It's my child's school. On top of an abandoned mine. Are abandoned mines always unsafe?
Mary's in the hole.
Don't be ridiculous.
Somebody else went in.
Get over there!
What?
Did
somebody fall in the mine?
Steve and Angus don't see the humor.
Tell her help is on the way. We're working on getting a new crane. Just need her to confirm she's conscious. Here.
The hole is wide, dark, and very deep. Mary is in deep water at the bottom. Still clinging to the umbrella, she hauls herself onto a rock shelf.
I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Nor am I afraid. Okay.
Still in her red boots, she uses the umbrella to lift over an old coat to cover herself.
It is me, Mary Horowitz. Yes, I seem to have fallen into the mine. Hello, everyone? It's, me, Mary Horowitz. Hello?
People, please move back.
Back up.
The ground is unstable. Back it up.
So she just dove in that hole. Like a gopher.
No, dude, not like a gopher. Like a human being. She was running after me and she fell in the hole.
That's the way to get your heads out of your asses.
That shot of Steve's girlfriend falling into the pit is priceless. We got the inside advantage here. So let's use it. Get Steve ready to go on and talk about his girlfriend as soon as we get the graphics together. 15 minutes.
Here it comes.
All right, you people are ruining the ferns.
Did you comment on the rumors that Mary's fall into the mine was a suicide attempt?
Well, that's ridiculous. Not our Mary. The word depression is not in her vocabulary. All right. Obviously, it is in her vocabulary, but no. She never lets anything get her down.
Still living at home at her age, clearly not a normal situation.
Not normal? We love having her here.
Sir, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yes, we love having her here.
Yes, we do.
Fumigation can't be rushed.
Wait, one more question.
Now, I don't want to speculate here, but if the ground did collapse, could that not result in death? Or at the absolute least, horrible disfigurement.
I don't want to speculate either, but yes, absolutely, it could.
And as we await the tragic fate of Mary Horowitz, attention now on the boots she was wearing when she slipped into the mine. A story I couldn't tell until I'd walked a mile in Mary's shoes. Take a look. It's hour one, and it's as if my feet have been placed in vice grips. We're at the 2-hour mark, and actually right now, I feel pretty good.
Red-booted Vasquez collapses.
Light source. And God said, let there be light.
Mary lights a lantern, and a warm glow fills the mine shaft. She finds a spade.
Oh, voila. Yes, perfect.
piled in a corner.
Oh my god, they forgot one. You scared the crap out of me. I'm sorry. Can you hear me? I mean, at all? Do you have sensory neural hearing loss, or do you have conductive? Because if it shouldn't hear me. Okay. You know, I understand a little bit of sign language, so if you want to, you know. No? Okay. Deaf people can do anything except for hear. Do you know who said that? Dr. Jordan. First deaf president at Gallaudet U. Yeah. Maybe you'll go there one day. If we both don't perish in here. Hold on. I'll be right back. You stay here, okay?
Dirt falls from the ceiling.
Well, Paula, apparently they're going to keep it old school and simple. A piece of paper, a number two pencil. This is Hardman Hughes reporting from the Edge.
Cut. Whoever wants you on next.
I told you, I am not her boyfriend, Angus.
Yeah, but you're the one that encouraged her to come here to begin with.
You're the one that asked
guys,
her to come here, not
guys!
Me.
Guys! NNC has got their hands on everything but her panty size.
What?
Our Mary?
Yes.
Son of a bitch. Busquets scooped us?
A note is lowered into the hole.
Behold, notice of our imminent rescue. Oh, okay. Okay. This is good news. This is good news, okay. They're going to tell us something wonderful. And it says, Mary, are you?
She grimaces. Howard and Elizabeth are among the crowds watching the drama. The note is lifted out of the hole.
It's a good sign right there.
Oh, God!
Steve keeps on filming as a young paramedic opens the note.
What's it say, son? Millions of people are watching.
Okay. I think you mean, am I conscious, not am I conscience. Conscious means alert and awake. Conscience is your inner morality gauge. You know, the thing that stops you from doing bad things, e.g. killing, stealing, harming helpless animals and whatnot.
Can we leave her down there?
To answer your question, yes, I am conscious. My leg is bleeding, but I will probably live. Yours truly, Mary Horowitz.
Yes.
P.S. Did anyone lose a little deaf girl? I found one. She's fine, other than not being able to hear, I mean.
They missed a child. Can't these people count? Thank God for this woman, Mary Horowitz. Let's bring up that picture of her again. Yesterday, Mary Horowitz. Today, Mary Horowitz, hero.
This just in, speculation now as to whether or not Mary Horowitz intentionally heaved herself into the mine to save the poor deaf child, after rescuers ignored her desperate, desperate pleas.
Paul, I'm here with Steve Mueller, Steve's girlfriend, Mary Horowitz, struggling for her life down in the abandoned mine as we speak.
She's not my girlfriend, and I'm not going to say that just to get ratings, okay? And the truth is, I don't really want to do this.
Mary Horowitz, described as freakishly intelligent. These words also describe Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. However, you never know about these people.
But people deserve to know the truth about her. I mean, she sees things that other people don't. And she's kind, and I think she means well, even though when she does things, they're just a little unusual. And she's smart, she's super smart. And not in a freakish way, like she has a gift. I mean, she knows everything. Everything but who not to trust, and how not to get hurt, and how to survive us.
Guilt makes Steve struggle for words.
And she doesn't pretend to be somebody that she's not. And she certainly doesn't deserve to be where she is now.
Maybe if I just do this, I can...
Mary's been exploring another tunnel.
The tracks down there just keep going and going down, and just concentrate on this, that, and that. But not to worry. I'll get us out of here.
The crane gets here soon.
I hope so too. Is it this carbon monoxide down there?
The air is coming through the top.
Even the concentrations of 5 ppm. They could suffocate.
The firemen exchange a grim look. A TV graphic shows Mary and the girl overcome by gases.
I am so sorry.
It's Vasquez's turn to overdo the emotion.
She has stolen a little piece of my
my heart.
What'd the site engineer say?
Stress fractures are worsening by the minute. The longer they're down there, the greater the chance to collapse. They thought the air quality was bad? Try a 50-foot span of rock and earth dropping down there.
Oh, Jesus.
That's a bunch of horse shit. She's gonna be fine.
Odds are she won't. We gotta go on.
What are we gonna say? Is it to say she's not gonna make it? Her whole family is watching, Angus. Christ.
I'll be back in a minute.
Hughes. All right, 2 minutes. That's it. Some blind date, huh?
Worry is etched on Steve's face.
Here's a candle. How Winston.
Elizabeth hands out candles from the hospital.
Maybe I'll feel better if I pretend that it's Mary's surprise party.
Howard gives a tight smile as he carves an apple.
I'm making an apple head for Mary for when she gets out. And she's gonna get out.
And I don't know why.
Coloured lights have been lowered into the hole, and Mary is trying to work out a way to escape.
This one's gonna work.
So?
She sighs, running out of ideas. Norm listens to the radio in his truck, and Mary's parents watch the news at home.
Rescuers are desperate for the crane to reach them within the hour.
Helicopters are out of the question because of all the power lines. Hope is fading fast.
The earth tremors are getting stronger. They have to come soon.
Mary tries to climb the wall of the hole, then tries to throw a rope over a jutting rock. She wrings her smarting hands and pulls on the lights cable, but it's not strong enough to climb. She breaks the umbrella by trying to use it as a tool and flings it aside in frustration.
I can't do this. I can't get us out of here. Guess what? Mary Horowitz doesn't have the answers. Or a job.
She kicks the umbrella.
And my job mattered. I was the Sacramento Herald's crossword constructor, and I threw it all away for what? Ugh. Mary, Steve wants you to come be with us. He needs you. Really? Methinks the media lies. A little? Words, people. Words. There are meaningful words, there are pointless words, and then there are words that hurt. Mary, why can't you be like every other girl? Mary, where do you get all that useless information? Mary, why do you talk like that? Mary, you know it's this. Oh, and the piece de resistance, yes. Mary, why do you wear those stupid red boots all the time? You want to know why? Huh? Do you want to know why? Okay, I will tell you why. I wear them because they make my toes feel like 10 friends on a camping trip. That's why I wear them.
She fights back tears and shakes her head.
We're finished. The ground is going to collapse. We're going to perish. I just want to go home. Sorry.
As Mary despairs, the little girl signs to her.
I don't know what you're saying, but you talk too much. I know.
Mary pulls herself together. Steve's at CCN's tent headquarters, tense with worry. Hartman paces, his brow furrowed.
Hughes!
Not now.
You wrote the note telling Mary to come here. You brought her here. And if she dies...
Hartman lowers his eyes guiltily before Howard and the crowd's accusing stares.
This is just a fence. Being on that side of it doesn't make you any better.
Elizabeth eyes Hartman tearfully. Howard's face is taut with anger.
You did that.
And the red with the IRS.
Make yourself some kind of superhero.
Mary. She did this.
Hartman looks from the great floodlit media circus to the crowds of people standing peacefully together, holding candles and banners in a dignified vigil. Thoughtfully, Hartman looks at the banners. We love you, Mary. Save Mary, like a mini crossword, and we dig you, Mary. People are there from the hospital protest, and the crowd stretches all the way up the hill behind the field. Elizabeth and Howard look imploringly at Hartman. This time, he looks them in the eye. Down in the hole, Mary clears away some rubbish beside the little girl and settles down next to her.
He was my ticket to normal. Yeah. Why would you want to be normal?
Mary grins at the signed question.
I don't.
Mary takes off her boots.
These will keep you warm. Yeah. Maybe someone figure out how to save us. Maybe.
Mary pauses, thinking.
Say that again. Maybe someone. Maybe.
The sign for maybe is like miming a set of scales or counterweights.
Little deaf girl, it's time for us to go home.
Aren't they doing anything?
Hartman grimaces. Mary's piling up rocks.
How much do you weigh? 50 pounds, give or take?
She greases the wheels of an old mine truck with lip gloss.
When I got kicked out of Girl Scouts and all the other girls were learning how to sell cookies, I was at home, reading physics books. Voila.
She attaches a table to the truck.
Hart, what are you doing? I told you 2 minutes.
It's my fault Mary's in the hall. But like Patton said, a bad plan violently executed today is better than a great plan tomorrow.
Hartman strides off in full hero mode.
So I'm going to pull the lever, push the cart, and up we go, okay?
I'm coming, Mary Horowitz! I'm coming to save you!
He's clutching a fire hose.
What the...
1, 2...
The hose was ripped from its truck and follows Hartman down.
Oh, okay. Pretty good drop. You guys doing all right?
But we were just on, you know...
No! Someone just touched me! Something bit me! Something! Help! There's something in that water. Something nibbled at my leg.
Hartman Hughes just jumped. I repeat, jumped into the mine.
Grabbing onto a hose that was attached to nothing, he literally dove right into the mine.
All eyes now not only on Mary Horowitz, but also CCN reporter Hartman Hughes. The hell didn't I think of that?
Did you check the perimeter for spiders?
Yes, I did.
It's really scary down here. Ellie. My old man can see me now.
Mary smiles gently at the terrified reporter.
I'm sorry. I got you into this. Sorry.
Thanks. How much do you weigh? And as this pulls back and pulls us upwards, I'll be cradling her here, and I'll be cradling you here. Maybe you would like to be holding us like this when we go up.
No, it's your plan, and I don't want to take the credit. I'd like to take the credit.
I don't know. He said something off. Patton and a bad plan.
Did you see the cable just move?
Okay, get the camera right now.
That cable's moving. Looks like they're coming up. Is there anything I can do to help out?
We're doing everything we can.
I know, but can it take all that weight?
The fireman's not sure.
foot in the stirrup?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Are you ready?
Yeah. I just hope this works.
Yeah, hold on.
What's up? Yo. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. I'm camera ready.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Whew. Okay.
3, 2, 1.
If life is like a crossword puzzle, then its worth, its greatness, should be judged in the same way. Is it solvable?
The crane is beginning to tilt over at it. I think they're coming up. It's hard to tell what's going on. The rising out of the...
Is it entertaining?
The rock-filled truck rumbles away, pulling the cable through the crane's pulley, lifting the three out of the hole.
Does it sparkle?
They rise out of the hole. Howard, Elizabeth, and Mary's parents are ecstatic. Norm and the school teacher celebrate, and the young paramedic takes the fireman in a bear hug. The escape sling reaches the crane arm, and Hartman gives a rugged thumbs up for the benefit of Steve's camera. The firemen pull them away from the hole. Hartman gives a camera-friendly, all-American salute.
There's Marcus Hughes.
Hartman. Mary Horowitz.
Mary Horowitz.
And the deaf child.
Everything feels so...
Looks like we're going to have to give her a job back.
Our own Hartman Hughes becoming the hero of this story, risking his own life to save the life of Mary Horowitz and an unidentified little girl. Truly, folks,
I'm going to have to meet that idiot anchor.
I'm gonna go.
Okay. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Hey.
Yeah.
Have a nice life.
Okay.
Mary, how did you know there was another child trapped?
Mary, what happened to your boot?
Have you always...
Mary,
been
are you a true blonde?
Oh, Mary. Are you okay?
Yes, I am. A few lacerations, but I was able to tourniquet them off with this bandana.
I never should have said anything to you that I didn't mean. Sorry.
Mary gives him a tight smile, then hands over the mangled umbrella.
Oh. Here. Thank you for the loan.
You're welcome.
I have to go.
Steve looks round at the crowd, then gives an understanding nod.
Okay. Mary? Don't ever change. For anybody.
I'm Jewish Catholic. I'm pretty much set in stone.
They grin at one another, then Mary scans the crowds for her friends. She spots them and jumps up and down excitedly before running to them. Howard breaks through the fence and throws his arms around her. Then she hugs Elizabeth. Steve watches with a broad grin, the broken umbrella slung over his shoulder, as Mary is mobbed. She spots Howard's apple carving. The trio embrace.
Angus, let's finish this.
Steve takes the camera.
Hughes, Harbin Hughes.
Move aside, move aside.
Hey, get in here.
Come on.
Ah, it's good to see you. Come here, Steve.
No.
Come on,
no.
Buddy. Good to see you. Okay, all right. Come on. Confessional.
Hartman Hughes, you reminded us to believe in miracles. What does it feel like to be a hero?
I'm not a hero. I'm a humble guy who's lucky to be alive. And, I think any hardworking, patriotic American would have jumped in that hole once he knew there's a little girl down there and a good-looking lady, single, huh?
Mary hugs Elizabeth and Howard.
New York Times crossword editor Will Short says we have a natural compulsion to fill empty spaces. I like to think he means not just crosswords. but the empty spaces inside of us that come from making your way in a world that doesn't always embrace unique. I tried to fill my empty spaces with words and puzzles and Steve. But that wasn't the answer. Now I know. On the journey of life, just find someone as normal as you. If not, a whole bunch. Oh, and here's a little bit of fresh Mary Horowitz wisdom. If you love someone, set him free. If you have to stalk him, he probably wasn't yours in the first place.
As Mary's hoisted on shoulders in the adoring crowd, a little crossword spells out the end.